you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
So we've been in this series called Road to Freedom. This is the 11th week, which I tend to do. But pretty much in a series like this, each piece is kind of standalone. There might be one or two sessions on each one. And we've talked through a lot of things. The key, in fact, if you want to, you can turn back over to John chapter 8. In verse 32, this is where we started 11 weeks ago. I don't know. I got up this morning. It was a little before 5. I went out, got some coffee, went out on the back deck. And the Lord just really started speaking to me about some things. And so I'm not starting where I thought I was going to start, but I'm just going to bring you what I feel like he gave me this morning, and we'll see where we go. But this series is in regard to the fact that the Bible tells us that Christ came that for freedom specifically, so that we could live a free life and live the abundant life that Jesus has for every one of us. He set us free. And we say that a lot, but we don't think a lot about what that means. It obviously means in the beginning that we weren't free when he came into our life, and that he has come to bring us into a state of freedom where we're not being hindered or restricted, restrained, tied down by anything that would hinder us from in our walk with God, in fulfilling his will for our life, in all of that. So we started with these verses a long time ago, and of course these are very familiar verses, but in fact I'm going to back up to verse 31. It says, so Jesus said to those Jews who had believed him, all right, if you abide in my word, hold fast to my teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. So he's describing a characteristic, primary characteristic of being a follower of Christ, and that is that we abide in the word of God. And we studied that out. That word means that's where we make our home. It's our home base. It's where we live. It's where everything in our life emanates from is the word of God. And then he goes on and he makes a statement in verse 32 that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And of course, that's one of those verses that is quoted so often that we kind of miss the meaning of it a lot of times. But so you take those things together. He says, to be a disciple, we're going to live, we're going to make our home in his word, and then we will truly, really be his disciples when we do that. And then he says, then you will come to know the truth. That's a word that means you'll have an intimate relationship with truth. And in that intimate relationship with truth, you will progressively be made free. Okay? So that word truth in our New Testament is defined as the reality that lies at the base of or pertains to appearance. Okay, so we tend to live by what we see in this natural world, what we see, what we perceive with our senses. You know, it's more than just what we see with the eyes. But that's the appearance. Or when something happens or something is taking place around us, well, we have this perception of what that is and what it means, how it will affect me, how it will affect others. We have this perception, and that's what this word is talking about, that truth. And what did Jesus say? He said to the Father, he said, your word, Father, is truth. Okay, so the word of God is truth. The word of God reveals to us reality as God sees it that is linked to something we're seeing, something we're experiencing in life. Is this making sense to you? So the word comes along and it defines the reality that surrounds something we might believe, something we might experience, some way that we think, some way that our emotions tend to function. Whatever it might be, the word often redefines that for us and shows us what's really going on in us, what's really going on in life from God's perspective. And many times that truth will come, and sometimes it will just confirm what we see, what we think is going on there. A lot of times it'll just confirm that. It'll assure us, yep, this is really what's going on, okay? But a lot of times it comes and truth confronts us. It confronts our perception of who we are, who God is, what's going on in life, how I should approach different things, what my attitude really is, why something affects me the way it does. Truth will come along, the Word of God will come along, and it's in those confrontational, it's the only word I can think of right here. I don't mean it to sound real negative, but it is. We get confronted by the Word of God. This is a completely different way of thinking, believing, looking at a situation, acting than I thought of, than I perceived before the word came. So it's in those confrontational times with the word of God that we actually grow, as long as we receive the word, as long as we receive what the word is telling us and begin to live, abide, make our home in that new truth that we didn't know before. And many times as this goes on, this is the process of growth in our life. This is the process of growth into Christian maturity. This is the process that changes our thoughts and our hearts, that renews our minds, that brings the salvation that already lives on the inside of us out into our thought life, our actions, our perceptions, so that those confrontational moments with the word are really important. If we don't have those, then are we really getting into the word? Are we really letting the word speak to us? Okay. And so in a series like this, I mean, we've talked about so many different things that are, we're in a section of it that we're calling open doors and how to close them. Open doors to demonic influence in our life. Open doors to believing the wrong things, to having demonic influence through believing lies. And like, you know, we spent a couple weeks talking about offense. And the truth is, some of us are given to offense. We're easy to offend. And the devil will use that against you. We all, and this is what I want you to hear today, we all have tendencies, we all have weaknesses, we all have tendencies toward various things. Maybe you have a tendency toward anger or toward unforgiveness or toward insecurity or toward any number of different things. And God brings his word to heal that, to close that door, to literally heal that internal part of us so that we start reflecting who he is and we start reflecting truth. Does this make sense to you? But for a lot of people, it's very uncomfortable. They've never gotten comfortable with the word standing up and confronting them. And I was pondering this for a while this morning, and Karen came out and I said, I don't know what the difference is. I don't know why. And I say this out of concern, not criticism in any way or anything, but there are some people I just know they're going to have a hard time, because in this church, I believe what church is number one, we are called, we are instructed to gather together and to do it more and more as the time goes on, right? It's what God loves, the gathering of his believers. He's had it from forever. He's gathered. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. Okay, he loves gathering with his people. So it's just something he loves for us. But the New Testament tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that part of what's supposed to happen here is each of us get equipped for the ministry that God's given us out there. We think of every one of you as ministers of the gospel. That's not a job. That's who all Christians are. We carry his life and his word, and we embody it in different ways. But we're a love letter from Christ to the world. It's who we are. So when we gather, part of the role on my end in the office of pastor is to bring the word. We spend time in his presence, right? We get changed there. We bring the word, and that word keeps building us and strengthening us and changing us. So there are a lot of things that come along. It's like, oh, that's kind of uncomfortable. But I was saying to Karen this morning, I don't know why I love it when the word confronts me. And she brought up, she said, yeah, well, we were raised at Believer Center in Albuquerque in a strong culture of the grace of God. Not meaning because of grace, God doesn't care what you do. It doesn't matter. He just loves you. Not that stuff. But that, yes, divine favor that we don't deserve. Yep. But also that empowering. He wants to empower us to do what he's called us to do, to fulfill our role in this culture, in this hour, in this time. We all have a role in it. And so that means for all of us, we have to change. None of us, you know, I was thinking this morning, if you went into a job, you went into a new job, and they were going to train you for that position, you would understand that they're going to give me some new skills. Maybe I'll have to do things I have already done, but do it differently because I'm now at this company and not at that company, you know. And you'd just receive that if you wanted to keep working there, you know. Well, we used to do it this way. Well, we do it this way, okay. And so you'd just receive that and you would grow. You would change what you were doing to accomplish what that new employer had for you to do. Does that make sense to you? So it's the same thing in a way with the Word of God. So, you know, for example, we just talked about, what did we just talk about? Offense. Forgetfulness. No. Offense for a couple of weeks. And for some people, that's uncomfortable to hear for all the reasons we talked about, because we talked about how we have to close those doors. Some people have been deeply wounded by something. It's very real. But nevertheless, we have to see, okay, but God's word is calling us to a new level, and he will heal what he needs to heal on the inside so we can walk in that. We're going to start talking about fear today. It's another huge door that can be open to demonic influence in our life. It's huge. And for some people who have grown up and they live in worry, they live in dread, in thinking about what might happen or not happen tomorrow, it can be hard to hear the word of God calling you to put that away. But I guess what I want you to know, and Karen said that about, we grew up in this atmosphere of grace, so we knew God is good. He's always good. He has a desire for me and for you to live in the abundant life that Jesus died to give to us. That doesn't mean everything being perfect. It doesn't mean, oh, just, you know, all the bells and whistles, everything you can think of. It means he has an abundant, fruitful, satisfying, purposeful life for you in every area of life. And in order to live that and carry out your ministry and share who Jesus is and who he's made himself known to you, to do that, we all have to change. So when the word confronts you, I just really encourage you, don't ever shrink from that. Even if it's uncomfortable, realize, no, God is equipping me to go farther. He wants to change me, and it's for my good, for the good of my family, for the good of my spouse, for the good of my community, my church, my business, whatever. It's for everybody's good. He never, see, I know, I am, it's instinctive for me to know there's no condemnation coming from God. So if something is said and you hear condemnation, then number one, I didn't mean to put it that way. And I know this is going to come as a shock, but I'm not perfect, okay? So my delivery isn't always perfect. It's okay. It's all right. I've learned to live with it. My wife has learned to live with it. But, you know, embrace the Word of God. He's not saying anything to condemn you. He's not bringing anything up just to dig up an old wound. He is, whatever comes from the Word of God, it's coming to bring healing, to strengthen you, to equip you for ministry. So I just bring all that up because it's kind of a continual thing, and we have, you know, we have a lot of things going on in the American church these days that are, Jesus didn't just walk around and say, come to me and you don't have to change a thing. He loves us where we are, but he loves us too much to leave it there. He has a huge life for all of us. And he didn't just walk around saying, hey, whatever you're doing, you just stay in that. You just stay in that lifestyle. You stay in that belief. It'll all be okay because I love you. And yet that's what a lot of people are getting and desiring in the American church. And it's not who we are. If I as a pastor created that culture to just make you comfy and warm your little toes every time you come in, I'd have to stand before God at the end of all this and be accountable for that. And I can't do that. That's not who we are. So I hope you're here to grow and to, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking now, okay? So let's start talking about fear. Are you okay? Everybody okay? So today, we're not going to have that much time left, so I'll say this right off the bat. We're going to start talking about fear because fear is an enormous open door to demonic influence. Under the influence of fear, we will believe lies. Under the influence of fear, we'll take a real defensive posture in life. We will stop reaching out, pouring out. We'll stop opening our hearts to people and to God. Under the influence of fear, there are all kinds of things that go on. But I want to say this right from the beginning so nobody misunderstands what we're talking about. There's a healthy kind of fear and then an unhealthy kind of fear, okay? So as we talk about fear, we're not talking about the healthy kind. Sometimes there's that fear that just alerts you to a present danger, right? There's that fear that, you know, you're walking up a trail, and we had this experience in New Mexico a few times. There's a great big rattlesnake laying across the trail. Well, it'll startle you. And there's a good reason for that, because that thing is dangerous, right? There are things that we run into in life that are dangerous. And there's a type of fear that will just alert you to a present danger and cause you to do something different to avoid getting hurt by that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a part of that that can just be what some people call fear. It's just a healthy respect for something that could be dangerous, that could cause a problem. If you're driving in the mountains in the winter and the road is icy, this may come as a surprise. You need to slow down. Go slower. Shift down, even if you have an automatic. Go down the hill slow. Don't crowd right behind people. Anyway. Just some tips, just some driving tips. You know, so that's a dangerous situation. It can be. There is a present danger. So you adjust what you're doing for that, not so that you are stuck here all winter because you won't drive over the passes, so that you can learn to drive over the passes safely as possible. Okay? There are lots of things like that in life where, well, so, you know, this could be dangerous. So I've got a healthy respect for it. I have a healthy respect for weather above tree line. I have a healthy respect for flying. I have a healthy, I'm not afraid of any of those things. I enjoy those things. But I realize there are dangers involved there. So I want to do the right thing so that I'm not going to get myself in a bunch of trouble. Does that make sense to you? So that's a kind of a healthy type of fear. What we're going to be talking about is a resident fear that sets up on the inside of us. It's oftentimes a low-level fear. We don't always call it fear, but we do. We can think about worry. If it's been your habit to worry, and we'll define that real clearly, what that is, to dread things that are coming, and the things that haven't happened. Okay, this goes out to things that haven't happened, and there may be a possibility of it. There are people who are already afraid of the 2028 election. It's way too soon. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, okay? To let that impact your life, because fear will bring deception. It'll cause you to make wrong decisions, that kind of fear. So insecurity, not having a confidence that, you know what? There are a lot of possibilities, but I have a promise from God forever that covers anything that's going to happen. Okay, there's 7,000 promises in that book from God. And so I have promises that can give me confidence to go past or to go through or to go over or to avoid totally something that might happen. So the kind of fear we're talking about is that sort of resident fear that would set up. And the thing is, when you give yourself to that, when it becomes a tendency in your life, okay, people will use that to manipulate you. Has anyone watched the news ever? They will use fear to manipulate you to do what they want you to do. And the devil, it's very clear in the scripture, we're not going to get to a lot of it today, it's very clear in the scripture, the devil will do the same thing. He hurls, it's part of his title, he hurls lies, things that are contrary to God's word, at your mind, at your heart, one after another, over and over and over again, to get you to believe what he is saying more than what God's word says. And then he's got you on a path of his choosing. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so it's if you're susceptible to fear, if you let yourself be susceptible to fear, because you don't have to. You don't have to do that. Fear, like offense, we actually choose it. We don't feel like we choose it, but we do. Somebody says, you offended me. It's like, no. I may have been ungracious or said something wrong or whatever. You chose to be offended. Same thing, it's the same thing with fear. That's one of those truths you might not like to hear. We decide to take hold of something that presents itself to us, and fear is the same way. So if we let ourselves be susceptible to fear, it will be used against you by both people and demonic influences. Okay. So let me make a few statements to you. If you're taking notes, you might want to write these down, and then we'll get to a couple scriptures still this morning. So first of all, fear is, it shows up in the scripture as one of Satan's primary tools that he uses against us. He wants to get us into fear because fear is belief in what the devil says instead of in what God says. That's what fear is. That's what brings up that emotion that we feel in our hearts about it. And he uses it, the devil uses it, to restrict your life. Fear will make your life small. I heard one guy talking about this and said he had a good friend who was afraid to fly. He would not fly. And so they were going on vacation. He got a big RV. He said, hey, you should get an RV too, and we'll drive to such and such. He said, I'm flying to Hawaii. You know, I'm not restricted to a few hundred miles from where I live because I refuse to be afraid to fly. Okay? And so there are dangers with flying. But we can choose not to be in fear about it. So fear in any area, it'll restrict your life. It'll make it smaller, and God wants to make it bigger, and it will try to redirect your faith. A lot of times it redirects our faith to us or to some natural solution. And it will crush, are you getting this? Fear will crush your hope. It'll destroy your hope because all you'll see is negative. Remember, hope is confident expectation of good coming from God. That's the biblical definition of hope, confident expectation. I see a lot of stuff that I don't like, that's ugly, that's dangerous, that's bad. But you know what? Hope says there is good coming from God. Fear will crush that hope. It will just absolutely destroy your hope. So fear, we need to see it as an enemy, and we need to treat it as something that is toxic. It is something set against us. It is an enemy of ours. It is not something we just allow into our home, allow into this home, allow into our family, allow into our lives. We just decide this is something. If you came home one day and a mountain lion had come in and was snuggled up on your couch, okay, you would not gather the family and say, we have a mountain lion now, you know, it's okay, just learn to live around it. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that if there was a rattlesnake on the floor in your home. It seems to be a rattlesnake day. You know, I mean, we wouldn't accommodate it, change our life around it. We should be the same way toward fear. It's an enemy. It's absolutely an enemy of your faith and of your life and of your fulfilling your God-given purpose. Fear, and we all know this, it immobilizes us. Just think about it. When you get afraid, you freeze up. I mean, it's what we do. We freeze up, and same thing is true. We do that physically. The same thing is true spiritually and emotionally. That's what fear does. We just stop. We get defensive. We get protective. We quit sowing. We keep reaching. We quit reaching out. We quit pushing forward. We just get immobilized. And that's what the devil brings it into your life to do. Okay? We can know, and we're going to look at this in just a minute, fear is never sent by God. Okay? And if it's not sent by God, you don't have to have it. You don't have to accept it. You can reject it. That may be a process in your life of getting to where you reject fear, but you begin, you start, okay? And hopefully we'll be able to help you do that. But if God didn't give it, and this applies to lots of things, you don't have to receive it. You can reject it. It's not from God. You belong to God. It has no right in your life. Does that make sense to you? Okay, and then we'll see this. We're probably not going to get these verses today. I'll show you real clearly. Fear attracts demonic activity into your life the same way that faith attracts. I don't really like this terminology. I just haven't figured out a better way to say it. It's like faith attracts Holy Spirit activity, attracts angelic activity. Fear attracts demonic activity. And we see that very clearly in the life of Job. But we're not going to be looking at that today. Let me make this statement to you. We'll go to some scripture here in a second. I just thought this was good. I heard somebody say this years ago. In the end of your life, your life is going to be defined by what fear you have overcome. Your life is being defined by what fear you overcome. Well, why do you say that? Because nearly everything of any substance that we do, it begins, it makes us nervous in the beginning, okay? It makes us anxious in the beginning. And anything God calls you to do is way, it's going to be, it's one of the ways you can tell it's God. It's way bigger than what you can do, because he doesn't call us to things that we can just go do on our own. He calls us to things that require faith and require his ability working in us. And so when he first calls us, it's like, oh my gosh, you know, that's really God? And any time that we step out in faith, we are stepping out believing that God's going to do something or bring something that there's no physical evidence for yet. That can be scary. If you have any sense, that was probably a scary moment. But as you go to the Lord, he will work in your heart. And he will give you confidence, which we call faith, to do whatever that is. I remember when the Lord first called us to come up here, and I've told you this story. I'll try not to take too much time on it. But we were perfectly comfortable where we were at Believer Center. And we were doing good things. We had projects. We had, you know, we were part of the ministry there. It was great. And the Lord called us up here. We always knew we were going to end up, we thought we were going to end up somewhere on the Western Slope. Never thought about Gunnison. But when the Lord called us up here, it was about a 2-year period between when he called us and when he separated us to the work. And during that time, we had lots of opportunities to be afraid. We had lots of opportunities, lots of nights spent thinking, this is nuts. This, I don't know anybody up there. We don't have any friends up there. We don't have denominational backing. We have relational backing from our church there in Albuquerque, but we don't have a denomination. We don't have somebody to come in, and we don't have a building. We don't have anything. And here it seems like we're real secure where we were. But, you know, so I spent a lot of nights wrestling with this back and forth. And in the middle of the night, your imagination and my imagination, really good at making something that isn't real appear very, very real. And then you get up in the morning, it's more like, oh, come on. But at night, it comes. And you get all the pictures of starvation and, you know, failure and collapse and all those kinds of things. But we learn to go back. God, what did you say? Say it to me again, please. I need to hear it again. And he would speak it, and he'd bring people to mind that we had met here and he'd had us ministering to and that kind of thing. And he'd bring his word. He gave us specific scriptures, and we'd just take hold of that word and we'd say, nope. I'm not going to continue to fear. And we'd also say, if we're missing it, please let us know. We don't want to miss it. We can keep doing good things here. But if not, we're going. Okay? But it's just one of those things that whenever you're taking a step of faith, there's going to be this sense, because you can't see how it's going to work. You just can't see how it's going to work. But you can see him. Does that make sense to you? Okay, let's look at a couple verses, and then we'll be done this morning. These two verses, again, the only point I'm going to get to this morning is that we're called to accept and to live in everything Jesus died to give us. Okay, that's who we are. That's what we're called to do. The promises of God for us are there for by grace. They're purchased with the blood of Christ. All the promises of God are yes and amen to us. So we are free to reject anything that isn't of God. We don't have to accept it in our lives. We can reject it. Okay, if God didn't will it, if he didn't give it, if he didn't purchase it with the blood of Christ, you don't have to take it. You may be experiencing it today, but you can reject it. Okay, so 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, you guys, everybody knows this verse, probably. It says, what does it say? For God has not given. That's pretty plain, okay? We can all understand that. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Literally, that means a disciplined thought life, and a thought life that is regulated by the production of fruit, is moving toward the production of fruit, and it is regulated by self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. I didn't say that very well, but that's what a sound mind here means. It's a disciplined thought life that's being regulated by self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. In other words, as the Spirit lives in us, it produces self-control. He produces self-control. We actually can have self-control. We can grow in it. Some of us think, oh no, I just can't control my... Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But it's something that He produces in you. So as you spend more time with the Lord, that self-control is there, and you can practice and you can begin to control your fear or your anger or your offense or your whatever it might be. Okay, all of those tendencies that we talked about. So He has given us this sound, disciplined thought life. He has not given us rash emotional outbursts of anger or fear or worry or any of those types of things. Okay, so I can lay claim to a disciplined thought life because God has given it to me, and reject an undisciplined, worrying, fretting thought life that just goes from what if, what if, well maybe, well, you know, we get so many of those, well what if this happens, well what if it doesn't, what if all this goes wrong, what if God comes through and does what He said He was going to do, what ifs, this is weeks down the road, probably not weeks, what ifs live in tomorrow, okay? What ifs live in tomorrow? Jesus said, take thought for today. So when my thoughts go to what if, I need to bring them back with self-control, with a disciplined thought life, and say, no, that's a what if, that's tomorrow, that's some other week. Today, I'm taking hold of the promise of God. Does that make sense to you? Okay. And you know, but when I hear these things, my mind goes to, well, stop listening to those things until you can get this disciplined thought life. Well, when I'm hanging out with, well, stop hanging out with them. Sometimes you have to do that. Stop hanging out with people that just talk anger, you know, anger, fear, whatever it is, all the time. Sometimes you got to get away from that. You have to know yourself. If that's stirring up fear and worry and all of that in you, then, you know, stop it. And maybe someday you'll be able to expose yourself to more of that because you will have a disciplined thought life, a sound mind, okay? But sometimes we just have to say no to ourselves. I can't do that and remain at peace. Somebody else might be able to, but if you can't right now, it's more important that you stay at peace than you go and listen to all this stuff. Well, it's at my work. I can't. Yeah, I know. I understand. But you can put your garbage can lid on, and you cannot let that stuff. You hear it up here. It doesn't have to go in here. Okay? It's just decisions we have to be. Well, when I watch the news, well, stop watching the news. We didn't used to get 24 hours a day of fearful gibberish. We didn't used to get that. And it is not doing our society well. There's occasionally something happens you want to know about, but it's not as often as we would like to think, okay, or people would like us to think. Okay, so he says he's given us a spirit of power, which that is that Greek word dunamis. It's like a piece of dynamite. It means there's internal power in us. He's given us the ability. He's given us an ability of, it's like, it lives in us. It's a resident explosive power, okay? And we're not so afraid when we know the power of God in us and for us. So sometimes we need to go to the first couple chapters of Ephesians and just spend a lot of time there and know about God's love and know about God's power that's for us and in us. And as we gain confidence in that, we won't be so shaken by things. Okay, and then it says he's given us a spirit of love and that sound disciplined mind. I put those all in the wrong order. But that word love, of course, is God's love for us. And as we know that, it builds confidence. As we know, now God loves us. God knows what's coming. God knows what's happened before. He knows my weaknesses and all of that. And he loves us unconditionally. Well, that gives me a lot of confidence to know that, you know what? I don't know how it's going to work out, but God is going to work it out. I may even have some tough days to walk through, but I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be fearful about them, okay? So we're free to accept what God has given us. We're more than free. We really should purposefully accept what God has given to us and reject what he has not given to us, okay? So then John 14:27, we'll just go through this one. We'll be done today. Jesus said this, he said, "Peace I leave with you." And that means I bequeath to you. I'm leaving my peace I give to you. Okay, so that's something God has given us. Peace. He has given us peace. And we can hold on to peace or we can let go of peace because there are lots of things. Fear will try to steal your peace, which belongs to you. Okay. And then he says, Jesus said, "Not as the world gives, do I give you." So it means I'm not going to give it to you and then just take it back. Okay. I'm not going to give it to you for manipulative purpose. I'm giving it to you. I'm giving you my peace. And then he tells us, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Whenever we see "let" or "let not," it puts us in charge of something. It says you have a choice here. Don't let it. So that means I must be able to not let it. I must be able, there must be some way for me to not let my heart be troubled, agitated, fearful. There's got to be a way, or he wouldn't say that. Neither let it be afraid. Okay, if Jesus said that, then he doesn't say these things and then just stand back and go, "Let's see him try to do this." He doesn't do that. He empowers. If we'll just accept it, he empowers it with his ability. That's what grace is, right? That's what grace is. So neither, don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So if you're experiencing that kind of fear, that unhealthy type of fear that the book of James says has torment, you can be assured, number one, it didn't come from God, okay? That you don't have to have it. You don't have to accept it. And really, to a degree, I mean, this is oversimplifying it, but a lot of it comes down to saying no. When these things try to enter your heart, you take a stance and you say, "No, Jesus didn't give me that." And a lot of times in a practical sense, and we've talked about this many times with peace in your heart, I will find many times that I start out the day. It's really easy when you're on the back porch with a cup of coffee and your Bible. That's a great place to have peace. It's a beautiful morning. The birds are singing. All is well. When you get out in the real world, then there are a lot of things that will come along to try and remove your peace. It can just be busyness. It, you know, it can be that you're just not taking any time to set your mind and heart back on God during the day. It can be, this is going to shock you again. I hate shocking you so much today. It can be people. It can be other people that can try to steal your peace. It can be the way somebody drives. It can be, I don't want to go into all that. Those are just my peace. Karen stays in peace when somebody's going down the road 45 miles an hour in front of us with 16 cars behind them. I start spouting the old thing of, you know, back in the 70s, when I lived here, then, you know, people would pull over and let cars by, but they don't do that anymore. Anyway, so that peace, let me just finish with this, that peace, again, it's defined as, first of all, a harmonious relationship with God. All right, because of Jesus, I have a harmonious relationship with God. And then it's described as an inward peace. Freedom from agitation. Freedom from those agitating thoughts and worries that want to go through our head all the time. It's a state of tranquility of heart and mind that can stay focused on God. Jesus said, I'm giving you this. All right. And so if he gave it to us, then when something comes to try and take it away, or when I won't even say it that way, when I find myself having lost my peace, then in a practical sense, I will stop and I'll go back and say, where did I lose it? Where was the last place I had peace? What happened? And it might have been a conversation with somebody, might have just been a thought about something, a worrying thought about how is this going to work out. Might have been about one of you, not because you're mean, but in a concerned fashion, you know, and man, I hope they get through this. I hope they, whatever it might be, could be any number of different things. Could be somebody going down the highway, 45 miles an hour. It could be any of those things. And I have to go back there, and that's the point where I have to recover that peace, because that's where I left it. And I have to pray through that situation. If it's a person, I just need to pray for them and turn them over to the Lord. Whatever it is, or I might need to just change my attitude. But I go back to that place because I want to recover that peace. Because otherwise, we can all spend our whole day in worry. And Satan, will steal your peace and keep you in that state of agitation and just continue it until you're believing what he is trying to tell you more than what God's word says. Okay, we are exchanging truths, which is exactly what happened in the garden, and we all know how that went. Okay, so I'm going to quit right there. Did you get anything out of this today? All right, let's stand up and pray together. And then if you need more prayer, if you'd like more prayer after church, please come up. We'll be up here. Some of us will be up here to pray for you today. But we'll pick this up next week. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray that what you have said this morning, out of what I have said or people have seen in their Bibles this morning, Lord, out of our time with worship, out of those songs, out of that ministry, out of any of that, what you have said, what you have imparted to our hearts, we choose right now to take hold of, to allow it to be planted deeply within us and begin to change us. And Father, I especially pray for anybody in here this morning, for anybody who's with us online, Lord, that has that tendency, has developed that tendency to worry, to dread, to be agitated, to have anxiety. Lord, even if that is, some anxiety is caused by a physical problem, we trust you to heal the physical problem. But Lord, when it's just us taking on thoughts, Father, teach us, train us. We take hold of your word. We choose to know today that we don't have to receive fear. We don't have to have worry. We don't have to spend our time fretting. We choose to reject it in the name of Jesus and command it to leave. And then we ask you, Lord, to teach us, train us, renew our minds, strengthen us, turn that around in our lives so that we can be people of boldness, people of courage, people that are moving forward with you and what you have called us to do and be. And we thank you for it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you need prayer for healing today, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, if you need prayer over faith, fear, I guess we can pray for faith. But, you know, any of those issues, please come up afterwards and let us pray for you. Okay? All right. So we're going to say this on the count of three, and we mean it from our hearts. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. We're going to be dismissed, and then all of you are going to go out there and be the church. There's a whole bunch of really good-looking goodies out there today, too. So stay around and consume. All right, let's say it One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.